Well, welcome to another night of revival. Every night, somebody gives me a testimony of what's happened in their life. So maybe this is your night. God is doing exactly what he said he was going to do with signs, wonders, and miracles, but it's not the way we thought it was going to be. The signs, wonders, and miracles are happening inside of us. They're not outward signs. A lot of people are being lifted up into the heavenly places, and I think that's wonderful. Father, I just thank you tonight for your word. Father God, your word is yes and amen. It is the truth. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for those who come out to sit at your table and be fed fresh manna from heaven. Now, Father God, open up our ears, open up our eyes, and let us see, hear, and receive what thus saith the Lord. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I want to speak about forgiveness of sins. Many of God's children are living, defeated lives because they are hanging on to their past. We still see that even though people go through the deliverance, they still come back, still messed up, still the same way they were because they're still hanging on to the dumb junk that happened to them. I call it dumb junk, guys, because that's exactly what it is, because that dumb junk is taking you to hell. And it's a shame that you allow what happened to you in the past to keep hanging on to you and never getting anywhere with God. All right, many of God's children are living defeated lives because they are hanging on to their past. They see their sins more than they see the solution. See the solution to their sins, and that solution is the blood of Jesus. They spend more of their time dwelling on their sins than dwelling on what Jesus has done for them. Do you know offense is a sin? Doubt and unbelief is a sin. Gluttony is a sin. It isn't that you went out there and killed somebody. You know, it's these other little things that are taking you under. All right, so your parents didn't treat you right, and you just keep thinking about that's a sin. Just to say your brother or sister sitting in the pew didn't smile at you just right, and you get upset about it, that's a sin. And this is the sins that God's been dealing with us for a couple years now to get rid of, and we have not done that yet. All right, how much does God forgive? First of all, we all sin, according to Isaiah 53:6. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And in Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So don't let somebody come up to you and act like they're all that and then some. Because right there we read where everybody has sinned. The fact that you recognize your sin and feel badly about it should give you encouragement for several reasons. The fact that you recognize your sin and feel badly about it should give you encouragement for several reasons. For one thing, a lot of people sin and don't think there's anything wrong with it, yet God has opened your eyes to seeing how destructive it can be. If you have a martyr spirit and you keep thinking everybody's trying to take you out or in for you, that's a sin, and you have to get rid of that sin. But God does not want you to live with guilt. Let's go up the fact. The fact that you recognize your sin and feel badly about it should give you encouragement for several reasons. For one thing, a lot of people sin and don't think there's anything wrong with it, yet God has opened your eyes to seeing how destructive it can be. Now, I want to stop there. I'll keep my place. There's things in our lives that keep pulling us down. You go through deliverance. It's addressed in your deliverance. But the next time you come for another session, it's there again. See, this is just things that you just will not let go of. You were delivered from it, but you have to let go of it. There isn't one of us in here tonight that there isn't something that has happened in our life that we have a hard time letting go of, right? But we have to let go of it, or it's going to take us out of God's kingdom. See, I said there, God has opened your eyes to seeing how destructive it can be. This sin, I'll say, if somebody think you think always think somebody's always out to get you. You know, that's a sin. And God's opened your eyes because it happens to you over and over. When this same thing happens to you over and over and over and over again, God is trying to show you that this is a fault that you have. It's not the other person that you have. And he wants you to get rid of it. All right. But God does not want you to live with guilt. He wants you to know and fully experience his forgiveness. God does not simply overlook our sin and say, you're forgiven. He doesn't do that. God sees our sin, but is ready to forgive us because Jesus fully took our sin on himself and paid for our sin by his death on the cross. Our sin is serious, and it cost Jesus incredible suffering, but from the moment we receive Christ into our lives, his forgiveness is ours. We can't ever make up for our own sin or suffer enough for it, nor does God want us to. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I'm just going to give you a little bit of an example here. You know, my mother passed away, I don't know, 6-7 years ago at least, maybe longer. But I keep having this feeling come up that I didn't do enough for her, even though I did. And today I was getting ready for church and I thought, gee, I wish Alicia was here so she could blow dry the back of my hair. You know, because it's just easier she does it. Then I got to thinking, well, you know, I wasn't always there to comb mother's hair. You know, when we were getting ready to go somewhere, I was too busy getting me and kids ready. And I'd go over there and, you know, and say, aren't you ready yet, Mom? And she's, well, I can't get my hair done. And even though I did it and I didn't think anything, you know, I wasn't angry about it, I just did not think of her first. She was 90 years old and I should have thought, now, Mom needs dress just like these kids do. Now, see, that came back to plague me again today. It's just little things like that, that I felt like I could have done more for my mother and didn't. That just, the enemy just keeps, whenever he doesn't have anything else he can get me with, he'll get me with that. You understand what I'm saying? And see, that's a sin if I allow him to bring it in. So I had to say, God, I give it to you. You know, I'm sorry that I just, so everybody in here, if you have an older parent, please take better care of them. Please put them first on your list, because once they're gone and then you start getting old, then you understand, hey, you know, they needed me more than I thought they did. All right. So that was my sin that I had to get rid of today. And that I got this forgiveness thing all night last night. And here I am doing this again. I'm letting that sin of not forgiving myself or something really I don't have any reason not, you know, for even to hold on to it, but the enemy brings these things to me. Repentance, the key to being forgiven. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So if you have a secret little sin in you and you keep covering it, or if you have a sin that's blatant and everybody can see it except you, you know, and you don't do anything about it, you're not going to prosper. If you confess it, you can be forgiven of it. All right, God, I acted stupid today. I let the devil bring that thought about my mother into my mind, and I know not to do that, you know, and I'm really sorry I did that, Father. If you confess it, you can be forgiven of it. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you turn to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you of all unrighteousness. That includes anything you've done that you're willing to bring before him. But what about when we struggle with an area and keep on sinning? Does God get so weary forgiving us that we at some point reach our limit? Jesus was asked by the disciples how many times they needed to forgive someone. Matthew 18:21 said, then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times, Jesus said to him. I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. This is one day. How many of you had to do that? Somebody keeps doing their dumb stuff over in the same day, and you have to keep, God, I forgive them. I forgive them. Don't you have to do that? Well, if you don't, praise God that you don't. That means your life's pretty good. It's unlikely that Peter could keep track of whether he forgave a particular individual 490 times yet. So you see Jesus' point. You just keep forgiving. you always forgive because God always forgives us. You have to always forgive. Come on. Because God always forgives us. God does not have a limit. He died for every one of your sins. Those you have committed and those you will commit, past, present, and future sins. You need to begin looking at your sin the way God looks at it. And here is what he says in the Bible in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There is no sin too great for God to forgive. Please get that in your spirit. There is no sin too great for God to forgive. Titus 2:14. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. And you know, I know because we deal with people, that people who were in really deep sin, unknowingly, you know, because it's fallen the devil, and then they get born again and they realize, oh, Lord, look what I have done. To the people around, not only to myself, but the people around about me. They have a hard time forgiving themselves. And we need to look at people who have been in deep sin, and when they get sort of crotchety, understand that they're having a hard time with themselves. They're having a hard time forgiving themselves for what they did for themselves and those people around about them, and they feel unworthy. And they're hard to live with. But, you know, we're supposed to love them through it until they get through that thing. And just thank God you haven't gone that far where it keeps bugging you like that. All right. Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The only sin God can't forgive is the one you won't take to him. If you have a sin in your life and you won't take it to God, he can't forgive you for it. So I'm encouraging everybody in here tonight to take your sins to God so he can forgive you. Did you know that it is the goodness of God when we realize his great love for us that is supposed to draw or lead you to repent and turn to him? It's the goodness of God that does this. Romans 2:4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? You know, God is one long-suffering God. Every one of us in here tonight, we should be under the earth somewhere. But God is long-suffering, full of grace and mercy, and whenever we cry out in repentance, he forgives. Jeremiah 31:3, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God draws you with love, not with hate, not with condemnation, but with love. God's rich love and mercy. Do you know that Christ's death on the cross was a symbol of God's great and deep love for you? Do you know that Christ's death on the cross was a symbol of God's great and deep love for you? Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. He loved us so much, he sent his one and only son, who he loved desperately, to die for you and I so we could be saved. Do you understand why he gets upset with us whenever we keep sinning and we don't repent? We're walking over the blood of Jesus. Christ's death on the cross was not just a symbol of God's love for good people, but for those who were living in the world. The word said Jesus didn't come for the church anyhow, and come for the sinner, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave. 1 John 4:9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. John 10:11 and 15:13, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I don't see that happening in the house of God, do you? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We want to be pampered and babied and coddled and whatever you do, change your diaper, this, that, and the other. And we don't want to have to lay down our life for anybody, right? We could say amen to that because that is true. From the time you were born again until you grow in stature, you'll always want to be coddled. I've watched that too many times. And see, I have a hard time with that because my father, you know, he was a strong man, and he made me do, and he made me be, you know, strong and do things. Even though I was young, he said, "You're old enough." When I was two, I was old enough. And so I have a hard time with people who want to be pampered. I have a hard time with that because my father never pampered me. You know, he said, "You're strong. You know better. Come on, pull yourself up by the bootstraps and keep moving." And so whenever I tell you something and you throw a fit, I'm like, "What's your problem? Just do it. You're a child of God. Just do it." And, you know, and I did that to my kids at home. And I even did that little Isaiah. You know, come on. He'll say, "Why are you so mean to me? You expect more out of me than I can do." He told me the other day. I said, "No, you can do it. He can do it." Where am I at? There is not one. There is not one of us in here tonight that can comprehend the deep love that God has for us. Not a one of you. There is not one of us in here tonight that can comprehend the deep love that God has for us. Ephesians. Well, me too. Every day I said, "God, I didn't know you loved me that much." Each day I feel more and more of his love, don't you? You know, you just think, "God, how can you love me? I'm so dumb at times," right? Ephesians 3:19, "And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Well, you know, just know that he loves you, and that'll get you through. You don't have to know the ocean of love that he has for you. Just know that I just thought, when I saw him stand over that, he was standing right over that alabaster box. That just blew my mind. That our Father would come and visit us, because some of us do dumb things. But he loves us, right? Not some of us. We all do dumb things. Come on, you all agreed that I said some. Checking you out there. If you want to be filled with the fullness of God, you need to understand this great love that God has for you. If you want to be filled with the fullness of God, you need to understand this great love that God has for you. Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Now, the word riches in the Greek here means abundance and fullness. God wants us to have an abundance of all things. And I'm not talking about material things. He wants us to walk in the abundance of the heavenly realm, in the abundance of his word. You know, I was reading an article about I think I passed it, sent it to some of you, about writing your books in the spirit. I think a couple of you do that. And, you know, he wants you to do, that's the abundance. He wants to put the words on your pen, in your pen or in the ink or something. You know, that's living in the abundance of God. He wants everything you do to be through his spirit. Come on. You know, if we don't get this down, he can't use us. It's time that it's really time we just grow up. Ephesians, it's way past time. Where am I at? Isaiah something or other. Isaiah 30:18. "Therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you." See that? "Therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you." For he waits. "For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him." My father spoiled me, even though he corrected me, but he did spoil me. I just knew I was loved. That's how he spoiled me. My Father in heaven, I know I'm loved by him, but he corrects me too. He does not let me just go out and do anything I want to do. He corrects me, but I know I'm loved by him. And see, if each one of you would understand this, the reason why God sends some of your way to correct you is because he loves you and he doesn't want you to go off the deep end somewhere and never fulfill the destiny that he has for you. All right? You have to know that you're living with an understanding God. He understands you. He understands all your little quirks, you know, and all the little things you do. He understands why you do them. Where we don't, But he does. That's a loving father. You know, a lot of us don't even understand our kids, let alone understand ourselves. Or maybe I should determine, we don't understand ourselves, rather than our kids. Amen. The nature of God's forgiveness in Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Being justified freely by his grace. To demonstrate how our Heavenly Father wants to love, accept, and forgive us when we turn to him, Jesus told a parable of the son who took half his dad's money and ran away, then returned home, and his father saw his son and was moved with compassion. You know, I'm going to tell the story again. When I was first born again, I thought I had done something horrible, you know. So I didn't speak to God for 3 days. I just thought he wouldn't listen to a word I had to say. And then that one morning I got up, you know, I opened up my big bay window, you know, and I slid the door and went out on the porch and I saw God. I was going to say how beautiful the trees are this morning because you have woods in back of us. And he started laughing. He said, daughter, I've waited 3 whole days to talk to you. He was laughing. He said, I have something very important to tell you. I just fell to my knees crying, knowing that my father waited 3 whole days to talk to me. And all those 3 days, I was beating myself up thinking I was totally unworthy. Come on, guys. I'm quite sure some of you sitting here tonight, you're the same way. You think you've done something that God can't ever forgive. And so you're not talking to him. You're thinking about walking away from him. But he's waiting for you with open arms. He really is. Even whenever I got out of my love walk, God didn't walk away from me. He just said, daughter, you need to come back to your first love because you've lost me. He said, I'm waiting for you. Come on back. I sat and wept that day too. He didn't walk away from me, didn't leave me nor forsake me. He understood the pain I was going through. He understood all the hurt and humiliation I was going through. And he was waiting just for me to say something and come back. He's doing the very same thing to each one of us in here tonight. He's just waiting. With open arms, he's waiting for you. I've lost my place again. But in Luke 15:20, it tells us how the Father received his Son. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know, the son thought he had sinned so bad that the father wouldn't even want to look at him. But yet the father ran to him and kissed him instead of vice versa. That is how our Heavenly Father sees us, welcomes us, forgives us, and loves us even after we have really messed up and then turned back to him. Even after, come on, guys, he is moved with compassion and welcomes us with open arms. In Luke 7, Jesus took a very sinful woman, likely a prostitute, and pretty washed her clean without hesitation. Luke 7:47 says, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little was forgiven, the same loveth little. Even though she was a prostitute, she still loved people. And God said she loved much and her sins were forgiven. So when we look at the prostitute, when we look at the drug addict, the alcoholic, or whatever it happens to be, no one thing. There is love in them. And God is ready to forgive them. Come on. We look at them and say, get out of my sight. You're dirty. You're unclean. But God looks at them and he sees the hurt and the pain and the suffering. And he's saying, come to me. Come to me. In John 8:3-11, a story is told where a woman was caught in a very act of adultery, and they brought this woman before Jesus. Jesus said unto them in verse 7, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Each one of them were convicted in their own conscience and walked away. You who are without sin, cast the first stone. There's an awful lot of stones that are being cast in the body of Christ by people who are in sin themselves. When Jesus and the woman were the only ones left, he said unto her, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. The people couldn't cast the first stone because they were in sin. And Jesus, who was without sin, said, I'm not going to condemn you either. Just go and sin no more. And while Jesus was hanging on the cross, a murderer, a criminal, next to him confessed that he deserved his punishment. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. See, this man repented, this Jesus. He told him his sin. He said, I deserve to die and go to hell, but you don't. And Jesus said, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Luke 23:43. Look at the story of Paul. He was a murderer of Christians. Look at what Jesus did to him. The man was turned around and used to be one of the greatest names in the whole New Testament. Look at Peter, how much God used him, even after Peter denied Jesus 3 times. That gives me a little bit of courage when I think about Peter. You know, he really went the deep end. He denied Jesus. Paul didn't. Paul just was doing what he thought was right. All right. So when God turned him around, you know, it's just so he could work on the other end of the stick, more or less, for Jesus instead of for the devil, right? But then there's Peter, who walked with Jesus and denied him. And look what God did with Peter. Amen. It is God's deep desire to see you turn to him and receive forgiveness for your sins. Isaiah 30:18 says, Therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him. He's just sitting here tonight. Some of you are sitting in here, and I want you to know God is just waiting for you to turn to him and say, God, I'm so sorry for what I've done. And let him forgive you. He can't forgive you until you do all that. There is great joy in heaven when a person turns from their wicked ways and turns to God. Luke 15:10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. One sinner that repenteth. The angels just go crazy up there. How about if we had 10 in here that repented? They'd probably come down through the roof, wouldn't they? So excited. Come on. Even when Jesus was dying on the cross, the love in his heart for us was so deep and genuine that he said in Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Come on. There's some people that know what they do, but there's others that don't understand what they're really doing when they come against you. And some people know what they're doing because they know how God loves you, but they still come against you, and they just don't understand. They just poked their finger right in God's eye, didn't they? And now you're in deep trouble. Come on. You are a new creation, so forget your past. All right? You are a new creation, so forget your past. As a child of God, you are a new creation. Your past has been wiped away, and you are given a fresh start. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, you know, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And God doesn't care if you've sinned the same sin 7 times. He still wants you to come back. And this time, ask for repentance and don't go and sin again, like he told the young lady. Go and sin no more. Come on, this is revival time, and revival is all about repentance. This is Jubilee year, and Jubilee year is all about being blessed by the Father. And Father's dealing with the people, you know, that come into the house of God. And he's wanting you to turn your life around totally and completely. And, you know, repent and turn your life around totally and completely. So he can place his glory in you and use you for his mighty works. Come on. There awaits no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you've become born again and you've asked God to forgive you, there's no condemnation there. If the devil keeps coming to you, I'm not that person no more. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1 says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Jesus did not come here to condemn you, but to save you. John 3:17, For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, all you ever do is preach condemnation. No, I'm not preaching condemnation. I'm preaching the word. You're just getting convicted of your sin. And you don't like it, so you'll tell me I'm preaching or whoever, that they're preaching condemnation. You're just being convicted by the Holy Spirit. Because all I'm giving you is a word tonight. Jesus did not come here to condemn you, but to save you. John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Not only does God forgive our sins, but he also forgets our sins. See, we say, I forgive them. You're lying. You need to repent of that, because you next day you talk about it. You haven't forgiven them. As long as you're talking about it, you're still thinking about it, and so you're still holding that against them, and so you have not forgiven them. Forgive means to forgive. Forgive means to forgive and move on and forget about it. God chooses not to remember our sins for his own sake. Isaiah 43:25 says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Hebrews 10:17, then he says, I will forget their sins and never again remember the evil they have done. He doesn't remember your evil. It's a devil. Keep bringing that into your thought life of what you used to do. And then he'll keep at it till he'll say, you're going to go to hell anyhow, so why don't you just go ahead and do it again? And so you give in and do it again. Hebrews 10:17, then he says, I will forget their sins and never again remember the evil they have done. And Jeremiah 31:34 says, no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I remember no more. You won't have to go around trying to see what everybody else sees, because you'll see him for yourself. You'll know him for yourself. I'm tired of listening to everybody else's testimony and what they did or what they saw and how they went to heaven. I want it to be my testimony. Amen. When your sins are forgiven, they are removed from you as far as the east to the west. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's quite a distance, right? Micah 7:19, he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and that will cast all their sins in the depths of the sea. And that will cast all their sins in the depths of the sea. We are told not to look at the past, but press forward towards the future in Philippians 3:13. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Quit meditating on the past. Look at what God has promised you he's going to take, that he is taking you into, and what he is going to do through you. All right? God himself does not remember your sins, so why should you? The reason why you do is because the enemy keeps coming and plaguing you. You have to tell the enemy, my mind is not your playground. And you're not going to plague my mind with what I used to do. Smack yourself in the head if you want to have to, and tell him to get out. How many of you do that, though? I mean, not smack yourself in the head, but how many of you tell the devil, this mind belongs to Christ, it doesn't belong to you, so get out of it. You're not going to put this junk in my mind. I'm a child of God, and I don't have to tolerate this, and make him leave. You have to mean what you say, though. You just can't wimperly say, well, now you just can't do this to me. You have to be serious about it and be bold. And the devil knows if you really mean what you say. If he felt it was best to forget them, you know, God, if God felt it was best to forget them, since when is it better to remember them? Well, you know what my husband did to me? I really don't care. Because a husband or wife did it to everybody, right? Everybody has that story to tell, don't they? So you know what you have to do? You have to forget that junk, right? Just forget it and move on. God can't give you anything better until you move on. You're stuck back there in that pit somewhere with this person, what they did to you. And that's all you're going to remember. So God can't give you anything any better. So forget it. Forgive them and move on. God wants us to forgive ourselves and allow Jesus' blood to wash clean our conscience from all the evil we have done. Apply the blood of Jesus to your mind if the devil keeps carrying on. He doesn't like that. Put the Bible on top of your head. He doesn't like that either. Right? And tell him to leave in the name of Jesus. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? He's trying to get all the dead works out of our minds, our wills, and our emotions. He's trying to get the dead works out so we can put the new stuff in there, the new glory, the new stuff from him that we've never received before. If we're going to do the greater works, we have to have the greater anointing that he talks about. And he can't put a greater anointing into your mind that's still holding junk. All right, why did God choose to make us new creations? Because he didn't want our past to be a part of us anymore. He made us new creations because he didn't want our past to be a part of us anymore. Come on. Can you separate yourself from your past tonight? Can you say, past, you're done. I'm not going to think about you no more. I'm not going to go back there with you, devil, no more. I'm going to move forward because what lies ahead of me is so much better than what was behind me. You already lived that mess. It was a mess, right? So why do you want to stand there and go back to it? Because what God has before you is so, God keeps telling me, daughter, but you know, I keep saying, oh God, I'd like to have the anointing like we used to have. And God said, no, daughter, you don't. What I have for the church is so much greater than what you're leaving behind. You see? And it's the same with our lives. What he's taking us into is so much greater. And you know, God told me about something a while back. I can't give them what they desire because they won't let go of what they have. They wanted happiness, but they were settling for second best. They were settling for unhappiness. And they wouldn't let go of that person so God could give them the happiness that they were desiring. They were holding on to the past. We are told that Satan is the accuser of the brethren, meaning that Satan will try to convince us that God could never love us. He will try. See, you want to believe God doesn't love you. That's why he can tell you that. Because if you can make yourself believe God doesn't love you, then you have an excuse for the dumb things you do. God just told you that, so there you go. Meaning that Satan will try to convince us that God could never love us. We need to recognize those thoughts as lies and instead choose to believe what God says. What God says about us in his word is truer than anything we could think or feel. Jesus said that those who build their lives on his word are those whose lives stand strong and secure, able to weather anything in life. Now, I'll read that again. Jesus said that those who build their lives on his word are those whose lives stand strong and secure, able to weather anything in life. Do you want to know why you've always overcome, you don't go under? It's because you're in his word and you're secure. And because you're standing on his word, you can weather anything that Satan throws your way. Why? Because God is with you. He's keeping you safe. And in Matthew 7:24-27, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, this is Jesus speaking, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. See, if you build your foundation on the rock, which is Jesus, the devil can come and blow all he wants to blow, do everything he can do, but he cannot blow you off the rock. Because you are rooted and grounded there, and God has you in his hand. If you have asked God to forgive you and to come into your life, you are forgiven. You know, it's a done deal. His word says so. Thank him for his forgiveness and begin to rejoice in your secure relationship with him. That's why I played the song, I'm Forgiven, tonight that we sang. So that we could get that inner spirit. All right. God is able to change areas of your life that don't line up with his desire for you. God is able to change areas of your life that don't line up with his desire for you. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. And Isaiah 38:17 says, you have put all my sins behind your back out of sight. God no longer sees me in light of my sins. You get that in your spirit tonight. If you've asked for forgiveness, he no longer sees you in the light of your sins. He sees Jesus' righteousness for me. Come on. Micah 7:19, you will tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea, never to be found at sea. Not dropped into the sea, hurled into the sea. I was reading where Billy Graham said, the only sin God won't forgive is a sin of refusing his forgiveness. God has already forgiven you. What are you waiting on? Billy Graham said, the only sin God won't forgive is a sin of refusing his forgiveness. See, whenever you say, well, God can't love me, you're refusing his forgiveness. You're refusing the blood that his Son shed on Calvary. Whenever you're saying, I've sinned too much, God can never forgive me, you're not receiving his forgiveness. And he can't forgive you. So what are you really waiting on tonight? Why are you really hanging on to your past? Why can't you believe that God loves you? And why can't you receive his forgiveness? We have not sinned such great a sin that God cannot forgive it. Come on. God said, if you can recognize your sin and you give it to him, he takes it and he does throw it into the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember it again. And you are supposed to not pick it back up again. He's telling me that what happens is you pick it back up again. You pick up the condemnation. You start thinking about, oh, look what I did to this one and this one and this one and this one. And then you feel so unworthy and get under such condemnation that you go back into your mess again, which is not receiving God's forgiveness. Amen. I was talking to somebody the other day. They were telling me things they used to do when they were on drugs. I said, good Lord, didn't that bother you? She said, no, when you're on drugs, she said, you'll do anything. You have no conscience. But then after you're not on drugs, then you have to think about it. Then it's there. See, well, that's what God told me to tell that young man. Satan paints a pretty picture for you, but he never shows you what's on the back of the canvas. So I'm quite sure there's a lot of us in here tonight that Satan has painted a pretty picture. And we followed the picture, but he never showed us what was on the back side of the canvas. And now we can't forgive ourselves. Are you going to die in your unforgiveness of yourself? Are you going to, you'll go to hell if you do, you know. Because we just said here, the only sin God won't forgive is a sin of refusing his forgiveness. And so if you can't forgive yourself, then you're telling God he can't forgive you. And you're going to die in your sin. Now, do you really want to do that and go to hell? And then once you're in hell, say, oh, why did I ever do that? Why didn't I receive God's forgiveness? You know, I'm hearing God say, I do have good pleasures for you, but you want the good pleasures of the world. And those good pleasures are going to take you to places you don't want to go. And that's why some of you won't receive my love and my forgiveness, because you still want to stay in the good pleasures of the world instead of moving over to the good pleasures of my kingdom. I'm hearing God say, if I struck a match in here right now, some of you would go right up in flames. Because of the excuses you're using why you believe I don't love you or can't forgive you. God really wants you to forgive yourself. You know, sometimes it's hard. But you have to do it. You have to do it. It's not maybe or is you know, you have to do this thing. Or you're never going to move on with God. This is why I always think about everything I do, because I don't want to give God a black eye, and I don't want to have to sit around and, you know, have to repent over and over again that I did a sin against God. Because I know that if I sinned against God, I would never be able to forgive myself. because he's done so much for me and showed me so much and been there in the good times, the bad times, and whatever times, and you know, I have no reason to do anything to hurt him. Do we? Come on. No, we don't. We don't have any reason not to receive his forgiveness. Is there some of you in here tonight who have a hard time receiving his forgiveness because of your sins, your past sins? If you do, God, you don't even have to come to the altar. He can do it right where you're sitting. God wants to place an anointing in you that's going to break that yoke that the enemy has around your mind, and he will destroy it, shatter it, and he said you'll be able to understand and be able to receive the true love that I have for you. He said some of you are living in such condemnation of the past that you can't enjoy any of your future that you're in right now. And these are the days of great blessings that he's going to pour out upon it, that he is pouring out upon his people. But if you keep remembering your past, you're never going to receive any of these great blessings. Now, is your past worth missing out on everything that God is giving right now? Barbara, he's blessed you abundantly. You know, why would we even think of doing something stupid against the Father? Are you understanding this? Today I was talking to my granddaughter and I said, what have I done? I said, I've not done nothing but love my family and be there for them all my life. But yet they still, there's something in them that hates me. And, you know, I had already worked under forgiveness, but I was working on something else. But it was bringing back this stuff, you know. I said, what have I done? But I really haven't done anything. It's them that has the problem. It's the spirit in them that doesn't like me. So, you know, maybe there's a spirit in you. I mean, you know, you yourself love God with all your heart, but there's a spirit in you that's trying to make you believe God's not going to help you. God doesn't love you. He's not there for you. And, you know, the altar is open. God wants you to just pour out. I'm hearing God say, I have the alabaster box ready. You know, one time God brought the alabaster box to me when I was in a really bad way. And he anointed me out of that box. And my whole life was changed. It wasn't maybe 7, 8 years ago he did that. He's here tonight with that alabaster box. If you want it, the altar's open. And he wants to pour that oil out on you. You know, I know, staff, you need this anointing too. But, you know, after the people get the guests come and get, then the staff, I want them to receive that too. God's love is so, so wonderful and so powerful. And you're walking in the agape love of God. You can love the unlovable, and you can excuse them for all the things they do to you, even though you don't deserve any of it.